Let's begin now.
Welcome into After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. The first time that I've done After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. This is Drew Nixon sitting in for Jay Binkley. We got Grant on the keys producing the show. And I'm not solo. I got a co-host, Mac Morey from Fesco and Dusty. The first time that you're doing the show. So
yeah,
I'm fired up to do the show with you. So
breaking my After Hours virginity tonight. Beautiful. So listeners, be ready. Ease me in, okay? Be nice.
Kick your feet up, crack open a cold one, and we're going to have some fun. We're talking Chiefs. We're going to talk some college football, some randomness as well, of course, as well with the out of left field question at the top of the next hour. We're with you for the next 2 hours here on 96.5 The Fan. But we're going to start off with what I think everybody is kind of talking about now is the wide receiver question marks. And Amari Cooper might have been on the top of the wish list. Devontae Adams would have been a pipe dream, but the Raiders were never going to trade him to the Kansas City Chiefs. But what is like left for the Kansas City Chiefs? People might say Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, dare I say Mike Williams, or some others. I don't know where you sit on this, Mac, but one of the conversations that would, I guess a hotter take would be, do they need to do anything at all, actually, given that Amari Cooper's not there, available anymore. Devontae Adams, of course,
well,
not.
Let's start there, then. Do they need to do something? Where are you at, then?
To me, personally, I'm not sure you even need to make the trade.
Wow.
unless it's for Deontay Johnson, because I think you missed your chance. And when we look at what the Bills gave up for Amari Cooper, you know, they gave up the third. They gave up the pick swap as well.
Pick swap in the sixth or seventh round, yeah.
The Chiefs have that extra third, the Legarius Sneed trade. They have 2 third-round picks. That one would be the more favorable. So I would say you trade your third, and you keep Tennessee, so you have technically a higher, because Tennessee stinks, they're going to have a higher third-round draft pick. Keep Tennessee's, trade yours. You have the extra seventh because of the trade. Don't even do a swap. Straight up third and seventh, and get Amari Cooper. Because to me, I think the reason why I say it's got to be Deontay Johnson is you look at the production of the other wide receivers that we mentioned. Deontay Johnson's also the youngest at 28. DeAndre Hopkins is 32. He's playing through an MCL issue.
Yeah, he's not 100% right now.
He has 14 catches for 175 yards. It's hard to judge DeAndre Hopkins, though, because he's on Tennessee. You got Will Levis throwing you the football. I think that's iffy. Mike Williams has been bad with the Jets. Maybe he needs a quarterback who actually likes his players and likes his teammates, maybe, because Mahomes backs his guys.
Mike Williams has been bad, but real quick, 10 catches, 2 yards, 0 touchdowns. Let me just say, Sky Moore, Justin Watson, and Mecole Hardman combined 10 catches, 120 yards, and 0 touchdowns. Those three combined have lesser stats, lesser production right now.
I've been a
bad Mike Williams.
So dating back to, I don't want to be the person to say, I'm patting myself on the back, but in April, I said they should have drafted 2 wide receivers just because you want it. Because to me, Sky Moore was irrelevant enough. You needed to move on. Kadarius Toney, you needed to move on. Just wipe your hands clean of those decisions. Get some new guys in the room in case of this scenario potentially happening where you have injuries. They have the injuries. They are relying on now Sky Moore to run routes. He can't get open. So really, you can almost say, I don't care who it is. Just trade for anybody because he's better than Sky Moore. That's fair. But Deontay Johnson's 28, 29 catches for 340 yards, the most productive out of the names that we mentioned.
Yep.
I think he's the guy that you, I don't know, he didn't cost anything. You give up a fifth or a sixth if you can, and you go there. If not, you missed your chance because they could have. How much are you dedicated? If you're dedicated to the three-peat, in my opinion, if you want to go all in, then you make the move for Amari Cooper because he's the best option and you have the capital where you don't technically lose anything. Like, you lose what you gain from Legarius Sneed, but if it gets you a three-peat, I think it's worth the decision to make if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if you agree with me. Jay Southland, Toast Service, text line 913-586-7965. I don't know where you sit on this, Mac, but to me, it's Deontay Johnson or don't get anybody, because how much better is Mike Williams going to be? How much better is he actually going to be than Justin Watson right now and what he's done? I don't know if the way that the Chiefs play, I don't know if Mike Williams fits the offense necessarily that the Chiefs have.
I mean,
because they don't like, to me, he's the perfect red zone guy as well. throw the back shoulder, throw the ball up, and just let him go get the ball like he's always done. But they don't typically do that.
They don't like, I mean, yeah, Mahomes has never really had like a deep jump ball receiver. That's never really been their MO. That's not been something that they pursued in the draft. I just, there's not a lot here to me. I like Deontay Johnson. I think that'd be a good pick. When you mentioned Amari Cooper, I agree with you. Going all in, trying to make something happen here to really, you know, kind of solidify the chances at a three-peat here. But I'm not so sure that they didn't call, man. I'm not so sure Brett Veach wasn't on the phone trying. It's going to be harder for the Chiefs to get real reception when Brett Veach has GMs pick up the phone and they try not to laugh him off. Okay.
I know. I see that, and in a way they're already at a disadvantage, because as soon as they see Brett Veach is calling, they're like, I don't want to hear from this guy. I'm not giving him to you. But Nate Taylor joined Cody Ingold earlier this week on, it was actually yesterday. It was on Tuesday, his normal time with us. And he said that he didn't get the inkling that they reached out for Amari Cooper. Not that they weren't interested, but it wasn't, I'm going to make a phone call and I'm going to make an offer. They might have thought, well, do we do this? Do we not? Now they know what the market is, and we see some of the people in the text line. Don't bring back MVS, please.
No, please.
I think
it might happen.
The thing that bothers me, and again, this might just be somebody who is not a full blown Chiefs fan, but to me, I don't know any other franchise in the league that goes back to their old guy. They go back to the X's more than the Kansas City Chiefs do. And sometimes it works out. Like, look, Juju has worked out to this point. He's been productive in the moments that he's needed to be. McColl has been productive, was productive last year.
Yeah.
In moments that he needed to be. This year, not so much. But do you really go back to MVS? Do you really try to go back there? I don't think you do. I think it's worth it to go after a wide receiver who's not been in the system. That's where I don't know if they make, even Deontay Johnson, I don't know if they make that move because he has no history in the offense. So I don't understand the idea. If that was the reason why, in the end, that they went after Amari Cooper, or didn't go after Amari Cooper as well, it might take him a little bit to learn the offense. I think him taking an extra 3 weeks to learn the offense really,
exactly,
it's not that big of a deal.
I think it's irrelevant. And I know Nate mentioned the fact that he's 30, so maybe they're looking for a younger option. I guess that makes sense too. But you got to look at the fact, like, Amari Cooper has been on three teams, and he's been productive on every one of them. He's been fantastic. He's stepped in now. I know he's had off seasons, but he's been able to work with three different systems, three different quarterbacks, multiple OCs, multiple head coaches, and he's made it work. That would have been a good option. They missed the boat. It happens. I like Deontay Johnson, $7 million in the base salary. I know it's weird. I don't love to say it. I just have kind of an infatuation for DeAndre Hopkins, man. I can't get off.
It's because you know how good he was, but you can't write
it's
him
the
off.
Name.
Because,
I know.
And you can't write him off though, because he wasn't overly productive with the Cardinals. He was fine. He was solid. He was good. In Tennessee, I mean, he had over 1,100 yards, I think it was, a year ago.
Yeah. Dude, when he's on the field, he's good.
And he's playing through an injury. So you would think he still has some of it. He is the 32. This would be, if there was a one and done thing, though, maybe that made the most sense, actually. I think Deontay Johnson makes sense because he's younger, a bit more productive. DeAndre Hopkins might be the guy solely based off the name. Yeah, he's older, but if you want to go all in, maybe you go after D-Hop. Somebody from the 816 said, what about Jerry Jeudy? Can the Chiefs trade for him? I don't know if the Chiefs would, or I don't know if the Browns would be that quick to get off of Jerry Jeudy after just dealing him. Somebody also said Tyreek Hill would be going all in. I agree. Tyreek Hill might, for all we know, he might miss his boy. He might miss Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, yeah, it looks like on Instagram
he's a quarterback right now.
No, I don't think, you mentioned the X's. I don't think Tyreek Hill is getting a late night booty call. I don't think that's happening from the Chiefs. If you're going back to an X, if you're really talking about that, I don't think it's Tyreek Hill. I don't think it's
DeMarcus Robinson.
There it is. I think it's DeMarcus Robinson. And I actually think it's like,
he's been fine. He's been solid. He's been better than Sky Moore. He's been better than McCole Hardman.
Yeah, he has.
If that's enough for you to
and
say,
and he's on
sure.
the field. Yeah. He stays healthy. Like, I mean, this is a low bar. They just need bodies. They need bodies.
From the 417, Darius Slayton, I don't know if the Giants are in a position where they'd be willing to move on from him because of the Malik Nabers situation. He's still going through concussion protocol. He's wearing the red jersey today. We don't even know if he's ready to play. He's been good. Do they get Malik Nabers back healthy? And I guess if the Giants lose the next 2 weeks and Nabers is back healthy, maybe they're like, you know what? We're going to get what we can from Slayton. And maybe that's more of a actual conceivable option. I don't know, but I know one of the names that you also mentioned was, speaking of the Giants, Jalin Hyatt.
Yep.
Bing's high on Jalin Hyatt. Hasn't really worked out in New York.
It hasn't.
That'd be a name that I think would be not necessarily irrelevant to this year, but it's one that you just take a flyer on to just have a guy in there. Then maybe he turns out to be solid. Maybe not this year necessarily. I mean, maybe this year, but you look in the future of it. Younger guy, you have some control over him. Rookie contract still.
Yeah, I like Jalen Hyatt. Obviously,
Tennessee
Govals, yeah, mm-hmm. A little biased there, but he's kind of a one-trick pony still. That was kind of his downgrade in college. That was kind of the red flag, and it hasn't really shifted. The Chiefs need a route runner, someone who can get open and create space quickly. Both in short and in the intermediate part of the field, desperately. Jalen Hyatt is not that guy. He runs straight and fast near the sideline and occasionally catches deep balls. Not really in the NFL yet. So I don't think Jalen Hyatt, Isaiah Hodgins on the Giants again, they just got a lot of pieces that are young and like unknown possible ceilings. There's a lot of names out there. I think the Chiefs have to really think hard about adding someone because, yeah, Juju looked good. You mentioned that. Kareem Hunt looked good. These are guys who are 29, 27, 28 years old, had multiple surgeries in Juju Smith-Schuster. These are guys that through a 17, 18, if you're trying to get a three-peat, a 20-plus week season, I'm not counting on Juju Smith-Schuster for 7-130 for the next 3 months. That's not sustainable. They are going to need someone to help out, and it's not just going to be Noah Gray and Fortson either. Yeah, it's going to be wide receiver. It's got to be.
Yeah, and I think because not that you become too predictable, but in a way the – it turns into the exact same scenario as last year where you're holding your breath for four quarters and you got to rely on the defense to make a stop in the end. I don't think Chiefs fans want to rely on that. They can make a move and at least alleviate some of that stress that Chiefs fans had last year. You got anything, Grant, about this?
Oh, I'm in on Deontay Johnson too.
Okay.
You are? I mean, if you give me the choice in the Madden trade simulator or whatever, but I mean, they brought back Kareem Hunt. They're going to bring back MVS.
Sounds gross.
Grant's right.
If we're about the most realistic option, you don't have to trade anything for him. You rest him up for a couple weeks. He's in the room for a couple weeks. Well, he was hurt for a while, wasn't he, in Buffalo?
They may say that. I think he's just terrible. He's bad. But you're right. He knows the playbook. He can step in.
Yeah, absolutely. He catches three balls for 45 yards, and we're like,
oh. Well, I think Nate Taylor said it best yesterday was, you just have to tell MVS every day that he gets there, hey, it's January, okay?
Yeah.
It's a playoff game, and then he's going to play better because he didn't play that well during the regular season, and all of a sudden he was making plays in the playoffs. Somebody mentioned if Seattle loses two more, maybe DK is a real possibility.
No.
I don't know. No. Somebody else mentioned Justin Ross. With that being said, we're going to end the segment, and we're going to move on to some college football. And up next, the college football slate is a really good one this weekend. What Missouri and Kansas State need to do in order to make the college football playoff, and also what you fans should be doing and following over the course of the next few weeks if you're a Mizzou or K-State fan. Grant, we're going to involve you in this conversation because you're big on K-State. That comes up next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Shane Company knows fine jewelry.
Welcome back to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon alongside Mac Morey. Grant Nicholson is producing the show for us. So the college football slate, and I'm a college football guy. If you haven't listened to the 249 miles of college football podcast, you need to do it.
Go listen.
If you're a K-State, Mizzou, or KU fan, every single week there's a podcast that's out, and I chop it up. We chop it up about some college football.
It's fire.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Wherever you get your podcasts, like, comment, share, subscribe. A new one just got posted this morning. A link will be coming out tomorrow with timestamps and all that stuff for you. Obviously, Kansas. Poor Kansas. Poor Kansas Jayhawks. poor Rob Brenton. Poor Alex Gold. Anybody
Yikes.
Else that's associated with the Jayhawks, I feel sorry for you because they can't. They're the complete opposite of the Chiefs. The Chiefs find a way to win. The Kansas Jayhawks find ways to lose this season. Unfortunately, they're 1-5, not involved in really any of the conversation for the playoff, but K-State and Missouri still are. Kansas State getting a massive win against Colorado. Missouri getting a win against UMass. They needed to win that one. They
45
won that one easily.
Yeah.
They play Auburn this week. K-State, though, we'll start with K-State because I want to bring Grant in here. One of the things that I told myself, Grant, on Saturday night when I'm watching the game is, They have the turnover on downs, the pick. They go down and score. I like the call to go for it. Colorado goes up, and I thought to myself, this is a moment where we learn about Avery Johnson. We know that he's hyped up. We know that he's really talented. he can go and win this game in a basically a two-minute drill. And what happened? Two quick plays. DJ Gittens gets a pass, and then he drops one in the bucket to Jace Brown. And I think Avery Johnson showed a little bit to everybody. If this guy not only is talented enough, but he can lead you to that drive to go and win a game, I thought it was really, really impressive.
Yeah, and I think the most impressive part about it is for the last 2 years when Avery Johnson's been on campus, they've said he wants to be a passing quarterback. He's not just the speed guy that's going to run out there and run for 100 couple yards, but he can throw it. And they've made that a big emphasis on the offense this year, more so than we've seen in past years with running quarterbacks. And K-State fans have been like marginally skeptical if he can do it at a high level so far. Showed us all, proved us all wrong in the game against Colorado.
Yeah, big plays. I think it was a massive win because, one, I think they kind of needed to have it because you look at the way that the Big 12 is shaping up. They already had the loss to BYU. This is a win that catapults them up to fourth in the Big 12 standings. I think DJ Gittens might be the second best back in the country. His last two games, by the way, Mac, I know we talk about Ashton Jeanty. We're going to get to him later on in the show, too. Mm. DJ Gittens' last two games, 182 yards and 187.
Like unreal.
The dude is a machine. And we talk about Ollie Gordon and Quinshon Judkins and all these other guys. But behind Ashton Jeanty, I think DJ Gittens is the second best back in the country. But
that's high praise. Wow.
I think he is.
I would have had him up there, but that's high praise.
Based on how he's played, I think he's there. The thing that I think Kansas State fans and Missouri fans as well should be watching for is with Kansas State, I think they need to win. You obviously get the automatic qualifier. If you win the conference, you get the bye, maybe get the bye because it's the highest ranked conference champion. Right now, Boise State's 15. For all we know, they could end up getting the bye if they're ranked higher. But if you're Kansas State and you're Missouri at this point, you don't think is going to make the SEC title game. You need to watch teams 8 through 15 because if it comes down to Kansas State making the Big 12 title game, and let's say, I know you're not going to want to hear this, Grant, but K-State loses, they're 10-2. They're going to be compared to the other schools that are 10-2 in that area. And if you're talking about a best win situation, how does Kansas State compare to Missouri? They might be compared directly to them. How do they look against Tennessee? Well, one of the big games this weekend, Mac, and we're going to get into that in a second, is Alabama at Tennessee. Third weekend in October. It's a rivalry game. It's massive. Baby. If Tennessee loses that game, all of a sudden, they're sitting with a couple of losses, and K-State's going to be directly compared to them. Missouri is going to be directly compared to them, even though they don't play Tennessee this year. So I think for college football fans, it's not just watching Missouri and K-State and them taking care of business. It's even if Missouri wins out, I think they have to beat Alabama. Otherwise, they're in trouble because their best win is not going to be as good as Kansas State's or many of the other teams across the country. But in the conversation for the college, this is what makes the college football playoff expanding, I think, really enjoyable, is because the idea of getting mulligans is kind of dumb, but it happens. It helps teams like Kansas State, though, be involved in the conversation and Missouri be involved in the conversation where people's eyes aren't just on three games a week. You should be watching multiple games to see how your team's positioned around that 8-10 or 8-9, 10, and 11th ranked spot. And with that being said, 11th ranked Vols, your boys taking on Alabama. They're hosting it at Neyland, one of the top games of the week. I picked Alabama on the podcast. I'm sorry. I picked Alabama on the podcast, but
Can you tell me why? I mean, because honestly, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I think Tennessee has one of the better defenses in the country. I think they're going to be able to get after Milroe. Milroe under pressure, under duress. We've seen what that looks like.
Some problems.
Yep.
Alabama's defense is sketchy.
Yep.
I think this game, the reason I think it's because of
Josh Heupel's beaten Alabama before.
I think it's the lack of what we've seen from the offense has been too uneven and at times. And I don't think it's necessary. It's not Nico Imaliava's fault necessarily, but looking at the talent that he has compared to the product that we see from a Josh Heupel offense that's supposed to be high-flying, they haven't been able to get on the right foot. And I don't know if that's a turnover thing. I don't know if it's a penalty thing. I don't know if it's just that they haven't fully played a good game yet.
They haven't.
Where I think Alabama is, in a way, pissed off enough that Jalen Milroe's done great things, and that defense is going to bow up for that rivalry game. And I think it's going to be a good one, too. But I think Alabama, there's so many good games this weekend, too, because college football has been on a heater. The last 2 weeks ago, we had all the upsets. This past weekend, we had so many overtime games, really good ones. This weekend, I would expect, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Nebraska, Indiana, which nobody would have thought at the beginning of the year that would be a matchup between a 6-0 team and a 5-1 team. I don't think, but it is. There's so many good games this weekend, and again, they're very pivotal to K-State and Missouri. But even just for college football fans in general, like, this is what you want to see, a slate like this that last week lived up to the hype. Hopefully this week can do the same thing.
And I think if you're Missouri, you're talking about, first of all, talking about watching other conferences, watching other teams, kind of getting a feel for what the rest of the landscape of college football looks around you and what that means for your chances. I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And I think about it the same way as the NFL. If you're a Chiefs fan, I mean, how are the Texans doing? Have you watched the Ravens recently and what they're doing with Derek? I mean, you got to know what else is going on. Do you really, have you watched the Bills? Do you know how Amari Cooper's going to impact it? Hint, it's going to be really good for them. I mean, you got to know these sorts of things to really accurately depict your team's chances. So I would say, if you're a Missouri fan this weekend, I mean, I'm curious what you think, Drew and Grant. I mean, Alabama, Tennessee, you brought up Mizzou plays Alabama. I think Missouri fans got to be Tennessee fans this weekend, right? I mean, you want Alabama to lose. No?
I don't.
Ooh, okay.
So here's the reason why I know.
Okay.
Because, and it's only if Missouri can beat Alabama, you want Alabama to win, because that can be your biggest win. And it stands out because you also, if they beat Auburn this weekend, which they should, could be a trap game because you're looking ahead to the Alabama game. If you're Missouri, you got to be careful there. But they beat Auburn. They can play an Alabama team that's going to be top five in the country probably. Tennessee will have almost been already removed. You can jump Tennessee based on them losing alone. If you beat Alabama, you already have a tiebreaker in a way over Tennessee in itself. So I think Missouri fans would want Alabama to win because they can jump. They have the potential to jump Tennessee in the SEC standings. And then if they can beat Alabama, you want it to be against a top five Alabama team.
That makes sense.
A 10th ranked Alabama. Because I think, and it's really only because of the Missouri schedule. Because if they lose to Alabama and they beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma goes 8-4, your best win's against an 8-4 Oklahoma team who got smoked by Texas, and who knows what else happens in the schedule. How does that win compare to Kansas State beating Colorado, or Kansas State beating Tulane even, or blowing the roof off of Arizona? Mm-hmm. How does it look if K-State beats Iowa State? If K-State beats Iowa State and Missouri goes 10 and say K-State and Missouri are both 10-2. Missouri doesn't beat A&M. They lose to Alabama, but they went out. K-State, in my opinion, has the way better resume because they'll have beaten an Iowa State team that at the time might be undefeated. So if we talk like strength of schedule, K-State has the harder schedule than Missouri. And even though Missouri is an SEC team, you think SEC is going to get the nod. I think K-State has the favor in that, where Missouri should be hoping Alabama wins the game because they need that high profile win, I guess, on their resume.
Well, K-State at 10-2 can win the conference. Missouri at 10-2, it's not going to happen.
Exactly. And they're going to need that win. If you're searching in your, I mean, Boston College is a good. If Boston College looks like one of your best wins, then it's. If Vanderbilt looks like, I know Vandy is a little bit better than we think, but if you're looking at Vandy, BC, or Oklahoma being your best wins, and they're all like 8-4, that's not a we're deserving of being a playoff team resume. Now Texas and Georgia, real quick. I know that's not the game of the week in your opinion, but it is according to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Nationally, I get that. I think I'm going to go with the rivalry.
It's called the game of the week. Look, if Tennessee Alabama is the better game, that was the game of the week. But I think we can learn a lot about Texas in this one.
Georgia plus 4. When was the last time Georgia was plus 4.5? 4.5 point dogs? I mean, I'd say Texas is the best team in college football.
In a year or two, I would think.
At least. I'd say more than that.
Last couple of years, yeah.
I think right now Texas is the best team in college football, but plus 4.5 intrigues me.
They haven't played anybody, which is why I think if Texas can beat Georgia, if they beat Georgia by a touchdown, Texas is the best team in the country, and I don't know if it's close. Like, you might have Oregon or Ohio State in the conversation, but...
Well, and is Georgia in trouble?
Texas are S tier. Georgia, I mean, yeah. Start to look at 10-2.
They got Tennessee up.
They play enough, I think, where if they finish 10-2, they're in, but you talk about Tennessee losing. Georgia, all of a sudden, if they lose this game, could be in a little bit of trouble if they lose to Tennessee. You're 9-3. All of a sudden, it starts to get... That's where it's dicey. That's where the expansion is so much fun.
Yes.
I know that a lot of people don't like it, but we still have the traditions, we still have the pageantry, we still have everything in college football, and it's been really exciting this year to follow along the storylines.
Can we watch it play out 1 year before we make our opinion? Like, before
they're already talking about expanding it again, which is gross. Like, we need to just enjoy this year.
Let's enjoy
it.
Let's just watch this year, and then we can all have our opinions. Let's not just go hate spewing yet.
Yeah, we need to just enjoy it for what it is. Up next, we're going to do a little draft. Mac's going to lead the way in the next segment explaining this, but we're going to draft NFL contenders. You can play along as well. 913-586-7965. We're drafting NFL contenders next on After Hours. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. G Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. You can participate in this as well. We're talking NFL contenders, drafting them. Matt can explain this a little bit better. You had the idea. You can go first, I guess, in this situation because it was your idea.
Wow.
We're just drafting. We're going back and forth who we think are contenders.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, basically we're a third through the season. We're at the trimester here. So let's draft our Super Bowl contenders. We'll each draft our five. So we'll get our top 10. Okay. Obviously, if I take one, you can't take them, vice versa. We go back and forth. And yeah, and we kind of look at our teams. And after we go, okay, who are our five contenders each? And the text line, weigh in, 913-586-7965. And tell us who has the better team of contenders. Tell us where we went wrong on this draft. I think it's a fun way to talk about the best teams in the NFL and kind of look at the landscape here as we are headed into week 7. So you can give me the first pick. You're just going to...
Yes, because you know, it was your idea. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you have it. It's your first after-hours show, so why not?
This is it. Okay, well, you gave me the first pick. It's easy, right? Does it draft the Super Bowl contenders? This is easy. Right here.
It's not the Bengals, I'm guessing?
It's not. It is not the Bengals. We're not doing a draft of 32 teams, just 10. So they didn't quite make the cut.
Dang.
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't really need to go in depth, but I will for you, Drew. They've got they've got the best coach in football. They've got the best quarterback in football. And I don't want to hear that. Six interceptions. Yeah,
best DC in football.
Best defensive coordinator in football. Best defense in football. One of the best linebackers. One of the best players on the defensive side of the football in Chris Jones. One of the best cornerbacks in football in Trent McDuffie. They've got the right tools. Yes, we've talked about the wide receiver, and I'm of the opinion they need to add someone. But it's not necessarily needing to be, you know, an all-star, all-world type guy. If it's DeMarcus Robinson, if it's MVS, it's fine. It'll work out. Okay, the Chiefs will be able to get this done. They've got a fantastic offensive line. And they've got Travis Kelce and Mahomes. It's going to be fine. The Chiefs are the number one pick, undoubtedly.
Call this my Bengals bias, but I wanted to say Ravens. Screw that. No.
Okay.
The fan got... It should be arrested for getting punching Commanders fans and attacking them.
What a douche.
No, the Ravens are a no. Texans. I want to take the Texans second overall.
Okay.
And contenders. They're on like the Joe Burrow track in a way with the Bengals in the second year that he had where he's fully healthy. They got the weapons. This is the run. You're still paying him rookie money. Take advantage while you can now. They're 5-1. Keep this thing going a little bit. I'm going to take the Texans to be. I think the AFC, even though it's a little bit weaker, I trust the Texans more than I do some of the other teams in the conversation with the AFC, especially, and then even in the NFC. I think the Texans, I'm taking second.
Okay. Don't hate it. They were a little bit later on my list, so, you know, my draft board's looking good. You know, I've mocked. Right. You know, my scouts are really excited. We're high-fiving in the boardroom. I'm going to go... This is a tough one. I thought one of these teams would have been picked, and I've got both of them to choose from. I didn't think I'd have this opportunity. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
That nasty fan base.
Go ahead. Well, okay. It was a nasty person. Every fan base has got some nasty. That was just a bomb. Terrible. Atrocious.
Yes.
Absolutely atrocious. And I hope he, it looks like he actually will pay for what he did. So
hopefully.
Yes, I hope so.
It's a good thing.
And it is a good thing.
As Mel Kiper would say. Good. I like it.
But yeah, give me the Ravens here. One of their biggest weaknesses was the fourth quarter blowing leads. I think they're kind of starting to learn about, hey, Derrick Henry exists for a reason, and in the fourth quarter, defenses don't like to tackle him even more than they don't in the first quarter. And we're getting colder in the colder months here. Trust me, that's just going to up the ante as far as the dislike to tackle and come into contact with 6'3", 245-pound, all-world running back Derrick Henry.
Senator from the 913 says, besides the Chiefs, I say the Vikings. The Vikings I thought about, but...
I thought about them, too.
I'm staying in the division. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh, I love it. The Packers, it's a good pick.
The Packers are my Super Bowl pick. We're my Super Bowl pick in the NFC.
In the NFC as well. Me, too.
Jordan Love is legit. I think that him being back healthy is a blessing. For how he wasn't out longer, I don't know. They found a way to win those games with Malik Willis. They're 4-2. him being healthy and getting back in the swing of things, they get a big win this past weekend. I think looking forward, you can say the Green Bay Packers with confidence are a contender. Ironically, they play the Texans this upcoming weekend.
That's gonna be a great game.
The Texans. So
it's at noon.
Yeah, it's like the best noon game. I without question. I think it's
a 3 o'clock game.
I'm gonna take the Packers as a contender. My second overall pick in this one.
Texans and Packers for Drew, and I like that. Packers were my NFC pick. I love Jordan.
Defense is underrated.
I think the defense is underrated. And I think they're getting better, and they've actually got some free agent. They've got some cap. They can move around some pieces. They can add something. Mm-hmm. They could trade. I don't think they're done as far as the roster is concerned. Again, for the 913, besides Chiefs, I say Vikings. I'm staying in the division. I'm going to go the Detroit Lions.
Woo.
Even with
I like it.
The Aiden Hutchinson loss is huge. We'll see how this impacts that team and their pass rush. But I love this roster. I think they're really deep. I think they were poised to lose a star player. Not that anyone should be prepared to do that, but obviously you got a depth chart for the reason. You got to have some boys, some dudes, some dogs behind them. And I think they do. They have a fantastic secondary. They'll struggle to get to the quarterback as well as they did. They have the best offensive line in football. They've got a slew of weapons.
Stud running backs.
The best running back duo in the league right now. Behind the best offensive line
in
football.
They won me a lot of money this year.
Ben Johnson, for some reason, just isn't a head coach because he wanted to stay there. He wanted to stay there because he thinks they have a really good chance at the Super Bowl. He's right. They're my third team.
Are they a team you think makes a move because of the no Aiden Hutchinson? Like, do you think they are that desperate?
I'm surprised we haven't seen a Hassan Reddick, Adam Schefter tweet. That's what I'm waiting on. I mean, that just makes all the sense in the world, right? I mean,
yeah.
Just to hire Drew Rosenhaus, they gave him 48 hours. So I would assume we hear something. Before Friday, you try and figure something out, try and seek a trade. So I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow afternoon we get a Adam Schefter pop and say, you know, Hassan to the Lions. That would make all the sense in the world.
All right. So I know that they're 3-3 and they've been iffy. They've had some injury problems. The Chiefs are playing them this weekend. I'm going to say the 49ers.
Okay.
And I know that Christian McCaffrey's not playing, but Jordan Mason's been really good. Isaac Grendo is a guy that all of a sudden they pick, and you just insert running back whoever here. And he's going to be good.
Classic
and
Niners.
Kyle Shanahan system. Brock Purdy has been playing some of the best football in the league out of all the quarterbacks. Defensively, they've been solid, but they've had a couple. They've been iffy at times. I mean, they're 3-3, and they technically are at the top of the division as well. So, even though they're 3-3, it's not like they're not in the conversation for the NFC West because they've struggled a little bit. Other teams in the division. I'm going to take the Niners because I think they're going to figure it out. Kyle Shanahan is too good of a coach. I think the Niners are a team that I'm selecting for my contenders.
I'm surprised. I think this team's a little bit disrespected here. The 7th overall pick. This will be my 4th team to my 5 contender lineup. The Buffalo Bills. This is a little disrespectful to the second best quarterback in the National Football League, in Joshua Allen.
Third.
And they just made a massive move, right? I mean, how many times have you watched this Bills offense and say, man, they just need a guy who can just get open on 3rd and 6 and go get a bucket by himself? And they have that now in Amari Cooper, because Keon Coleman's looked really good as a rookie. We haven't really talked about him because you got Malik Nabers, you've got Marvin Harrison, you got Brock Bauer, you got so many great rookies on the pass catching side. And so you're just not talking about Keon Coleman. He's looked good. Khalil Shakir, a solid 2 or 3. They've got maybe the best tight end duo in the league. I honestly don't know who's competing with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. I'm going to go Buffalo Bills. And again, I think Josh Allen is that good.
All right. I feel like there's a lot of disrespect to the Vikings here because I'm not taking the Vikings again.
Wow.
I'm going to say the Atlanta Falcons, the other team that I had in the NFC title game
over
this year, my predictions.
Or over the Vikings.
Over the Vikings. I think that and it's because of the defense. Kirk Cousins is good enough. They got Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. They've started to involve more in the offense. Darnell Mooney's had a really good season for them. We know how good Drake London is. Defensively, they've been really, really good. Secondary, Jesse Bates is a superstar.
Mm-hmm. AJ Terrell.
I still don't know how they didn't take Dallas Turner in the draft and they picked Michael Penix Jr., neither here nor there.
So dumb.
The defense is still really good, and I think they can. And I think part of this conversation, too, I look at who can make it to the Super Bowl. That's part of it. And I think the NFC is. There's a lot more question mark around the NFC, I think, because there's a lot of teams that are in the equation. I think the Falcons are one of them. I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons as my 4th pick in this contenders list.
I mean, the draft's fallen to me perfectly. You know, this is a stud draft. This is a Brett Veach level draft. I'm going to end my draft with the Minnesota Vikings. And you mentioned the disrespect. This is the ninth pick in the draft. So I'm going to go with them. We've seen
they're
the defense.
They're one of two only undefeated teams in the league, and they're going ninth overall.
They're going ninth overall in this NFL contenders draft. Listen, I was one of the only Sam Darnold guys left on Sam Darnold Island. Okay, I had a house. I had a mortgage. I've been there. I've been living there. It's been desolate. Now everyone's moving back into Sam Darnold Island. I'm saying, whoa. Rent's gone up. Sorry, guys. I've got the good prices. I've been here, okay? Inflation. Listen, it's just not sustainable at the end of the day. This MVP-style Sam Darnold, we're going to come back to earth a little bit, right? I think at some point. And Brian Flores, one of the best DCs in the league, at some point, it's like Rudy Gobert in the playoffs, right? You get stretched out to the corner. You have to, guard the perimeter.
And it's barbecue chicken.
Yeah, it's barbecue chicken. You're on the pick and roll. He can't keep up. He's gotten to play more minutes. Now we're lessening the rotation to seven or eight guys. Rudy Gobert, I need you on the bench. With the blitz, you're blitzing on 50% of dropbacks right now, and I love Brian Flores for being that aggressive and having that big of cojones. But come playoffs, when you're playing those elite quarterbacks, they're going to beat the blitz, and you're going to have to find something else.
Yeah.
That's my worry with the Minnesota Vikings. But still, they make my draft. They are a contender. Really impressed with them. Kevin O'Connell has entered an elite echelon of coaches.
I'm 100%. When he's taking Sam Darnold when he's making Sam Darnold look as good as he is and being a legitimate, MVP candidate, then I think that's worth it. Starting from the text line real quick before I get into my final pick, says, what do you guys think of the Bears when you see them fall? They're 4-2.
When you see them falling off.
The NFC North is the toughest division in football right now. The worst team's 4-2, and it's the Bears. I think the Bears can make the playoffs. I don't know if they fall off. I just don't think they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think they're good. Caleb Williams has looked a lot better the last couple weeks.
That's great.
But they're not my pick. You know who this is. I wish that we were I wish we were on camera because I would look dead into the camera.
Oh, jeez. Don't do this.
My final pick is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, come on,
man, Joe Scheisty is who I'm rolling with. Number 9, he's an MVP candidate still for a reason.
But his wrist.
He's playing a bet. Hold on. I mean, no. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. Joe Burrow on a bad wrist is playing better this season than Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to take my quarterback, who is second in the league, by the way, not third, not fourth. He's better than Josh Allen. He's better than Lamar Jackson. The defense bowed up a little bit last week. They found a way to get it done.
They bowed up against the Giants. They bowed up against the Giants, baby. Do you hear this?
I was worried going into that
game,
by the way.
They bowed up. Yeah, you should have been. You almost lost.
The one team, Grant, that the Chiefs do not want to face in the playoffs is not the Bills. It's their biggest threat isn't the Ravens. The biggest threat isn't the Texans. The biggest threat is the one team that's beaten them multiple times when it's mattered most, in fact, the Cincinnati Bengals. He's a contender.
He's so serious, guys.
This is the pick of the Puka. This is me picking Puka Nacua, and they're actually like the best pick. I'm right. I ride or die for my Bengals.
You just said you were worried against the Giants.
I was worried going in.
Going into the game, you were worried against the Giants. That was the game until the fourth quarter.
I was worried. Hey,
top five contenders scared against the Giants?
Because I'll be honest. They might have the best offense in the league and the worst defense in the league. I was fully convinced that Danny Dimes was going to throw for 250 yards and run for 50 and have three touchdowns.
Well, this is why they aren't a contender. No, you're saying it. You're saying what we are thinking.
Well, I needed 1 week of Lou Anarumo going home back to Long Island to convince me that the defense has figured it out and they're going to be better on the other side. Give me the Bengals.
The commitment is admirable.
Seriously, you're right.
Look, I've been chastised on this station too much. I've been through the ringer, all right? I bleached my... Have you seen my hair yet, Grant?
I saw.
I had my hair bleached. Yeah. I ride or die for my Cincinnati Bengals, all right? Not the Bengals. Somebody said my father's disappointed I didn't draft the Titans. Yeah, he would be disappointed because my dad loves the Titans. He was grilling me for making fun of Will Levis. Sorry, he's easy to make fun of. The Titans are not contenders. The Bengals are. I'm sorry, Mac. If the Bengals... Look, I want the Bengals to play the Chiefs so bad in the playoffs. Hang on.
They played like 4 weeks ago.
No. Hang on.
We saw it. We did it.
Hang on. Real quick, before we go to break, I talked to this at the state. We talked about it on Cody and Gold. I asked Speck, if the Bills go 10-7 and they win the division, and the Bengals go 9-8 and they sneak into the playoffs, who's more of a threat to the Chiefs?
Who's more of a threat or who am I more scared of?
Who's more of a threat to the Chiefs, a 10-7 Bills team that wins the division or a 9-8 Bengals team that sneaks into the playoffs as a 7 seed?
Josh Allen and the Bills.
No way.
Yes. Yes. Now, who would I maybe have my sphincter a little more tightened for? Maybe Joe Burrow, because he's the one guy who's beaten the Chiefs. But he doesn't have a touchdown in the fourth quarter in overtime of a playoff game. I mean, Josh Allen's fantastic.
If the Bengals are the seventh seed, they have to come to Arrowhead in any scenario.
But if the Bills only win 10 games, if they're one game better than the Bengals, who snuck in and they stink, according to everybody. The Bengals are the bigger threat to the Chiefs. Speck agreed with me, so shout out to Speck. The Cincinnati Bengals are legit contenders. Unless they lose this weekend to the Browns, then maybe it's a different story. Anyways, coming up next, we are going to dive into the Tom Brady stuff. Yeah, it's interesting. Is it fair? Probably not. How it affects the broadcast and all that other stuff, too. We're going to dive into that next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Wrapping up the first hour here on After Hours. We got one more to go after this. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Grant Nicholson producing the show here with you on your home for KC Sports, 96.5. The Fan, real quick, we only got a couple minutes before we transition to the next hour, Mac. It's a topic of conversation because Tom Brady was approved unanimously. Clark Hunt today said it was a unanimous approval for Tom Brady to become a partial owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And the conversation now is about the broadcasting, because as you would suspect, there's limitations now that come with it. Basically, it doesn't matter about the Raiders. It's not just the Raiders. He cannot go into any pre-game meeting and meet with the coaches or the players or go through stuff, which
can't go to practices.
Yeah, it's
can't criticize officials.
It severely handicaps his broadcasting ability, it seems. And I think, like, some people might think, well, it doesn't matter too much because in the end, guys can get away with it. Like, Russ Tucker joined the show today on Cody and Golden and said, look, I've done games where we haven't met with the teams and I feel like I do okay. I think Tom will do okay, but they're doing the Super Bowl this year.
Yep.
And when we talk of 2 weeks of prep and really getting to know players and all of this stuff, Burkhart might be great, and I think he already does a really good job and he might know his stuff, but not having the analyst in there to know and be able to break down situationally what happens on a player, what they talk, it takes a little bit away. And I know that we're not there for the announcers, we're there for the game, but it takes away from the broadcasting experience, from the TV experience that we're going to have and the listeners are going to have watching from home.
Well, it's not even to me the breaking down of the play that's going to suffer here. It's like, you know, you mentioned the Super Bowl. Let's say the Chiefs are in it, which they will be. You know, it's going to be more about Tershawn Wharton makes a big play. And Tom Brady just doesn't know Tershawn Wharton's impact this season. You know, he's looking at Chris Jones. He's looking at McDuffie. He's looking at Justin Reed. He's looking at guys.
Stars guy.
He's looking at guys. Only. Yeah, exactly. Like we see Tony Romo. So clearly doesn't know these like actual guys that are impact players, that these diehard Chiefs fans that listen to 96.5 every day. We know how much Tershawn Wharton means. We know that Leo Chenault can play down on the line with a hand in the dirt. He can play as a linebacker. He can do
a lot
of things.
You in the ground. Yeah.
Exactly. So we know these things about this team that I think are going to really suffer if you don't have that intel, if you don't have that inside that we are looking for. And yeah, some people may not care, but I mean, how often do we talk about and sit here and see on Twitter that just announcers getting killed for sucking
more than we think?
Yes.
It's interesting too, because I wonder if Fox even thought about this perspective of our content. Like, I know it's Tom Brady, but I wonder at what point did you say like our content is worth more, where I know it's Tom Brady, but the content needs to be good, and it's just because it's Tom Brady. I mean, Tony Romo was great that first year.
Because
he's predicting plays and all those stuff. Then it turned into not studying, where he kind of lost sight of how the game is.
Yeah, he wasn't watching those guys anymore. He wasn't in the film room for 20 hours a week. He wasn't, yeah, exactly. It fades.
Yeah, very, very. It'll be interesting to see how this continues to go. Even this Sunday, because he has the Chiefs-Niners game. I would assume he's not able to meet with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see how it goes directly. That's going to be interesting anyways. First game that he's broadcasting, a Mahomes game. Is there going to be any shade thrown? Who knows? We'll find out on Sunday afternoon. Up next, we get to the second hour of the show. The out of left field question is going to kick off the final hour that we have here on After Hours. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Grant Nicholson continue next on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5.